Not looking forward to our time. As we mentioned last week, do you really know what you believe about hell? And tonight and next week, it'll be on heaven. And so I look forward to that tonight. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And Brother Chair, come sing, lead us in our first song, He Hideth My Soul. Lord, we do love you so much, and thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. We ask your blessings as we come together to worship and to fellowship, and I pray that you would help us tonight as we lift our hearts and voices and songs as we worship together. Pray that you bless our time together in fellowship and as well as our time in your word. We do thank you for your word and place that you've given us to come together and worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, thank you so much for this glorious day you gave us, Father. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our pastor and Michelle. Father, there's so much that's done, even behind the scenes, just by these two people, Father, that just encourages and blesses our hearts. And Father, we know it's because your spirit here is here among us. And Father, we thank you for being with us tonight as we just come together to worship you in song and in truth, Father. And through your word, Father, we will be blessed and encouraged. And Father, we will gain wisdom. And we look forward to that tonight, Father, for what you have in store for us with our pastor. And Father, as we worship you tonight, again, we take an offering, Father, for the furtherance of your gospel and the message of Christ throughout the world. Father, we sustain this church because of the giving of these folks. And Father, we just pray that you bless the giver, bless the gift, and just be with us, Father, tonight in all that we do. And we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
strength he will be. The needy will not be forsaken, and the hope of the poor will not die. For God, who is mighty in judgment, does not forget their cry. Arise, O my Lord, and answer my call. My heart cries out to be heard. I've no other hope than your gracious love. I trust and cling to your word. The needy will not be forsaken, and the hope of the poor will not die. For God, who is mighty in judgment,
hours into training Marlene to play the piano. Yes. Oh, my goodness. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you for those willing to sing and to volunteer and to be involved in the choir, to be involved in special music and teaching and ushering and security. And then so we're going to give another opportunity for volunteer. I'd like you to pray about it. We want to see what we can do if we get enough helpers this year to try to pull off a vacation Bible school. And that means we need some workers, some people to volunteer. Brother Cherry has offered to, you know, to work around a work week and take some time off work to do it. So we'll have to look at daytime, nighttime. I'll be honest with you. There'll be some families that will use it for child care service. That's just the way it's always been. However, we'll get those kids for several days during the week. We'll get an opportunity to have a program at the end where mom and dad will come and watch their kids in the program, and they will get the gospel as well. In the past, what I have done when we were in Germany, and haven't done another place, we did there, we did Vacation Bible School, and my role as a pastor was we set up a room and had coffee and tea and refreshments, and I invited parents to hang around and to fellowship, talk to the pastor, get to know the pastor, and give them opportunity to ask questions. Some stayed every single night and just chatted and talked. And one family offered the next night, how about if I just bring us a sandwich to share next tomorrow night? You know, I was all in on that as well, especially in the summer. And so we had a good opportunity, got a chance to meet some families, meet some kids, and we'll do a usually what we'll try to do as well, maybe try to get a missionary that can be with us that week for the offering during that week. And we're having a penny or a fundraiser drive. Don't use penny. We even sold rolls of quarters for the boys and girls offering and let them compete with one another. And so that last night, mom and dads were pulling out their checkbooks and writing checks for rolls of quarter to put in the offering. And we were running out, so we had to balance the bucket, empty it, take it back to the cashier, and parents were lining up to buy more quarters for their son or their daughter, the boys or the girls could win. And we raised a huge offering that year. We bought, if I remember correctly, we bought two goats, and we bought a ton of coal for an orphanage, for a missionary that has an orphanage in Uzbekistan. I think it was in Uzbekistan, one of the stands. And so that was a great year. We had a lot of fun that night, that week that I should say, and I got a chance to meet some of the parents. Again, as always, we won't always see families stay, but you do see some stay. And we get a chance to plant the gospel in the life of of those boys and girls as well as the adults. So if you have an interest and would like to volunteer to be involved with that, I know those involved in the children's ministry, children's ministry, Brother Mike and Miss Kitty, and we've volunteered Brother Rob as well. If we need to build a puppet stand or do something else between Rob and John and others, I'm sure we could do that, but we'll begin praying and thinking about that and how to plan that. So if you'd like to play a role in that, you may think, well, what role may I play? Well, first we'll have to plan it, but depending on the age of the kids, it may be helping with younger children, maybe teaching a Bible story. Lord willing, we'll be all on the same page with the same theme with each and every class that we teach, and there'll also be a time of refreshments. We'll need somebody to help out with that. Of course, we'll do that in the fellowship hall, and then we'll have an assembly here as well, and we'll use some of our rooms for classes for the kids. But those are some things and kinks to work out between now and then, so you'll be praying about that, how you might be able to be involved in a ministry of that nature. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, we'll look at the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21. And before we get started, who has a blessing they would like to share? God's been so good, you can't stand it, jumping up and down. Got to tell somebody what the Lord has done. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. And be on guard. Just remind us, good that she wears her belt on the outside to remind us with her surgery as she continues to heal. But we're glad to see her up and about it. So I don't see you leaning as much on that cane as sometimes that you just carry around, but it's good to have that. Good. Anyone else real quick before we move on tonight? Anyone else want to share a blessing? Bless your hearts. God hasn't been good to anybody else. All right, I want to thank the Lord before we get started. Revelation chapter 21 for his goodness. Thank the Lord for being pastor here at Harvest Baptist Church and for my family and community here at Harvest. Looking so much forward to this year and things going on. Trust everyone has enjoyed the service this morning as much as I did. I enjoyed the service this morning. I enjoyed the fellowship and looking forward to more of that as we go through the year. All right, Revelation chapter 21. Do you really know what you believe about heaven? Revelation chapter 21, let's begin reading. We'll read verses 1 through 3. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. Lord, again, please help me. Give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. And Lord, help us to glean from the scriptures tonight. For some of us, there may be some things that we glean new. For some, it will be a reminder. But Lord, help us as we glean together to be encouraged and reminded, and if nothing else, to continue to think about heavenly things, to think about the goodness of you, think about the place you have prepared for us, that we also may have that joy in our hearts and our lives as we share this with others. In Jesus' name, amen. The afterlife is mocked in modern society today, but it was taken very serious in previous generations. Visit almost any cemetery and you'll find markers proclaiming beliefs in the afterlife and especially in heaven. But what does the Bible have to say about heaven? Is it real? Should I believe in it? From the biblical perspective, heaven is a real place designed for real people. But that doesn't mean that all people are going there or that they even understand what heaven means and what it's all about. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, we'll be seeking to answer those questions and more as we discover what we really believe about heaven. And sometimes I think it's good for us to remember, not just in our study that we're doing on our series on what do you really believe about on Sunday nights, but in general, studying things and topics and ideas in the Bible. I know that we have had our appetite wet about a barbecue place and an ice cream place over at Cave Creek or whatever that place is called in Arizona. I've got the notes in my phone, and this afternoon between my nap and coming over here, I was doing a little research to find out whatever they had there because I want to know what's there before I get there. Shouldn't we want to have a general idea of what's there before we get in heaven? You know, recently I was talking to some folks. They were asking, preacher, what are we going to wear in heaven? Are we going to wear robes? And I said, you know, I don't know, but I tell you what, we'll all be modest. I know that. And someone else said, that's a good answer, Pastor. But I don't know. I don't know fully exactly what everything will be like, but there are some things we can glean from the scriptures a little bit about what heaven will be like. I believe that some of us who are very introverted might be a little more extroverted when they see Jesus. I believe some of us will be have a different style or way of worship when we get to heaven. I'm not saying what we do here is wrong, but I think there's some things about us are going to change because we're going to be like him. And we're going to be, it's all going to be about worshiping him. Number one tonight, the meaning of heaven, the meaning of heaven. Back in verse 1 of our text verse in Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So a couple questions before we get into this little section. What do you mean by the word heaven? So if you had to describe what you meant about word heaven, so you think about what it might, what you might say, and then what is meant by others when they use the same word. For some, maybe you say, well, man, it's so heavenly, referring to maybe a meal or a dessert or an ice cream or a barbecue sandwich or whatever. We throw words around sometimes that don't specifically mean or have the using the same way the Bible uses it. But how do we, or how would we describe heaven? Couple of illustrations for some kids. And these children were asked about death, about heaven, and here are some of their answers. These are fun, and I found a whole bunch, but I narrowed it down to just a couple. A young elementary boy said, when you die, they bury you in the ground, and your soul goes to heaven, but your body can't go there because heaven is too crowded up there already. A 9-year-old girl said, only the good people go to heaven. The other people go where it's hot all the time, like Florida. I couldn't put Arizona. I had to say Florida. But probably more like Arizona since it'll be a dry heat. Another girl said, heaven is probably so stunning that it makes your eyes all watery and has everything you can ever dream or imagine. You know, we can dream about heaven. We can dream about what it might be like. We can have some discussion and maybe agree to disagree on some and agree on other things. But there are some things that we know from Scripture what it will be like. And the other things, all the things we can say is, it's going to be heavenly. I can't wait. Looking forward to it. So letter A tonight, how the term heaven is used in the Bible. The Bible uses the word heaven in three ways in Scripture. First of all, it refers to the region of the atmosphere. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And then it refers to the region of the stars, referring to the first, second, and third heaven. The region of the stars, Revelation chapter 8 and verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third parts of the rivers and upon the fountains of the water. So there's the atmosphere, there's the region of the stars. And thirdly, it refers to the dwelling place of God, the dwelling place of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2, 3, and 4. And I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one was caught up into the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard the unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Yes, heaven is a real place. Here in Revelation 21, the words are used as the normal, literal sense. So they should be understood in the normal, literal way. John 14 and verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. There's no doubt about it. Since our Lord has gone and is preparing a place for us, we know it's going to be good. We know it's going to be heavenly. We know it's going to be, everything is going to be in its place. Not only do we see the term is used in the Bible, but letter B, how the term is misused by religion. How it's misused by religion. Islam teaches that heaven will be an afterlife in Eden for those who do good deeds. Hinduism teaches that heaven cannot be perfect and is just another name for pleasurable and mundane material life. Oh, how we can learn more if we just open our Bibles and read instead of speculating or guessing or letting someone claiming to be a prophet to tell us. Next, in many ancient Chinese religions, heaven is a place where the ancestors reside. From it came the belief in the divine right of the emperor who was ruling or the emperor to rule. In Marxism, heaven is viewed only as a tool to manipulate the masses into a certain behavior. I don't know about you. I like what the Bible has to say about heaven. Number two tonight, the members of heaven. The members of heaven. I'll go back and read verse 2 of our text. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven and prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So our question for this section, who do you think will be in heaven and why? I imagine you get a variety of different answers. I refer to the misuse of religion with Islam and Hinduism and other Chinese and Marxism beliefs. But thinking about all the other different religions, what do they think will be in heaven and why? But we'll look at what the Bible has to say about that. Letter A, it is only for a prepared people. A prepared people only. The New Jerusalem will be coming down from heaven as a prepared place for a prepared people. The word bride indicates a specific individual, and in this context, it refers to a specific group of people as well. The members of heaven, all those who are born again. I'm so glad that the Lord has not only given an open invitation for everyone to come and to die and to be a partake, but it's limited to those who are born again, those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ladies, amen. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. It is only for a prepared people. And then letter B, it is also for all prepared people. Not just those who are prepared, but everyone that is prepared. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. You see, it doesn't have anything to do with ethnicity. It makes no difference. It has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with language. It has nothing to do with country. What matters is that they have believed the message of the gospel. You know, I really like the translation for the word gospel in the Russian language. It literally means good news. And we have good news to share with others. What matters, again, is that they have believed the message of the gospel, that Jesus died for them, that Jesus was buried for them, and that Jesus rose again. It's so important that we understand the aspect of with our role as Christians as we serve the Lord together. I'm going to back up a little bit before I go to point number three. And I asked a question a little bit earlier, and I want to maybe get some input from you folks as well. But I asked a question earlier, what is meant by others when they use the same word referring to heaven as far as the meaning of heaven. Has anyone else in the congregation witnessed to someone of another faith or another belief, or maybe were confused about their belief, and do you remember what they may have said or referred to about heaven and what heaven is or what heaven may be like? Anyone? Our way out, and make it short, what Brother Tony has mentioned about some folks he worked with when he was working as a welder, like our back doors here, there's when you die, you enter and you get to choose between two doors. One is heaven and one is hell. Well, my only thought about that is, why would anybody choose hell? And what's the defining? And then he used the word Lord willing. You know, well, when you want to bring the Lord into it, if it be his will, you better want to know what the Bible says about his will is if you're going to bring him in to the conversation. So often people just don't think about what they say or what they believe or why they believe it. Anyone else? Yes, Brother Mel. Yeah, and they've changed their belief. Can you believe that? They've changed their belief. At one time, they said it would only be 144,000. And I remember I was in Jacksonville, Florida. I was working for a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson called Visicon. And I was at work, and in between, I was doing a study on cults. I actually had some Watchtowers and some other article and magazines I was reading. And then I read one where they were trying to word it in such a way that they weren't changing their doctrine, but they realized they had more than 144,000 members. So they had a hard time explaining which ones would be in and which ones would be out, so they had to change their belief. Brother Darrell, yeah, a whole lot of faith. First thing that came to my mind is I, growing up, I had a little sister, and she had a little small little pink pony called My Little Pony. That's the first place my mind went to. But they... And there's other religions that use manipulation about heaven and about hell, and as if they can mandate who gets in, who does not, and that's how they control their belief and their and the acts of worship and the acts of works that people do. All right, what's the other question I was wondering? Was anyone else before I go on? We'll get to this next session, Brother Mel. Planet. They will be a god of their own planet one day. Again, and people say that I have to have a lot of faith to believe what I believe and what the Bible has to say. It's, sometimes it can be quite surprising. All right, number three tonight. The master of heaven. The master of heaven. Again, back to our text, I'll read verse number three, Revelation 21 and verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." The master of heaven. Our question for this section: what are some specific things we know about God that will make him the proper master of heaven? So what are some things that the Bible has to tell us why God is the master of heaven? Letter A, the creator will be its master. The creator will be its master. Psalm 146. Verse 5 and 6. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever." The creator will be its master. And then letter B, the Savior will be its master. Pretty logical. The creator, the Savior, 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And then letter C, the Lord will be its master. Revelations chapter 21 and verse 22. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Revelations chapter 22 and verse number 5. "And there shall be no night there, and there need... And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." I want to take you a few moments tonight before we close, and may do this again next week as we have time. And having some questions, some discussion came up at lunch. And the question that I want to ask is, for those that like to share a little bit, what are some things that you're looking forward to see, or people you're looking forward to talk to? And I know everyone's first answer is my Savior, the Lord, without a doubt. And we're going to be there to worship and to praise him. But have you ever thought to yourself about a conversation or someone you'd really like to meet in heaven? Now, before we close, I want to say something that's a little different. I had the privilege of meeting a man. His name is Michael, and he lives in Slovakia. As far as I know, he's still living. I hear from him every once in a while. Help me pronounce his last name again. Yeah, Horkovic. It'll come to me in a minute. Horkova. And he... Before he got married, he married late in life. And it was always fascinating to sit down and talk with him. He helped me with the Slovak language. He helped me with the Slovak Bible language. Him and another gentleman, Slavic, who was in his 80s, I would go to his house and I would read my English Bible to him. And then he would read the Slovak Bible to me. Then I would read the Slovak Bible back to him, the same chapter I was reading in English to help me with the language studies. And sitting and talking with these men from their time in the military, that they served in the Communist Army, and then time in life. Michael did not get married till late in life because of one purpose and reason. He spent his life smuggling Bibles from the West into the East. His name is not mentioned in the Bible, but if you look in the front of your Bible, the book of Acts, it says the Acts of the Apostles. I think there's much to be talked about of some of our ancestors from history of our own country and in Europe and others that we may never know about written in the Bible. And Michael made comment of the man who recruited him. And I can't remember his name, but he recruited Brother Michael to help him smuggle Bibles. He was younger, and he was a young man after his required military service. He got saved, and he met this guy, and he started helping him smuggling Bibles for 10, 15, 20 years. I can't remember how long. And when this older gentleman got ready to say, I just can't do it anymore, he asked him to take over. He said, but there's some conditions. You have to do it until you get someone else to take over for you, unless we get our freedom. And Bibles were sent in from Germany, parts of Austria, other parts of the country that were shipped and sent in. And it made me think about this tonight when Brother Sam read the prayer letter, because I think I know the printing press that those Bibles came off of. It was established while we were there in the 90s in Moldova. I think Victor is the gentleman who's running it, and Brother David Wade of a Macedonian World Baptist Mission helped train and establish that printing press in Moldova. So back to Michael and smuggling those Bibles. He decided things were getting better. The wall had come down. They were able to get Bibles back and forth freely. And he decided, well, now I need to get a family. And this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I thought it was funny. He went back to his church, went back to those who used to be in his youth group or now are all middle-aged adults. And he found a couple young ladies that were still single. And he went up to one of them and said, we need to get married. And they did. They did. They got married. And her name is Giska. And they did get married and have children and serve there in their church that we had the privilege of being a part of as we were doing language studies there while we were in Slovakia. Again, I look forward to not just the names that were mentioned tonight, but if the Lord allows it, while we're in heaven, wouldn't it be so nice to talk to others? Wouldn't it be nice to talk to the person that led the person that led you to the Lord? The person who led you to the Lord, the person that led them to the Lord, the person that led them to the Lord, and that chain of thankfulness because you got the gospel because it started back here a generation or two ago, how the gospel was carried forward. And that's so important. So just a little exercise I wanted to do tonight. I figured we'd have a little extra time because I knew my outline was a little shorter. But do you really know what you believe about heaven? Let's dwell on that as we think about faith, family, and fellowship. Let's also think about heaven and how wonderful it is, how much we look forward to going to it, but also about the opportunity of sharing that with someone else and maybe even bringing up the topic about someone about, well, what do you think about heaven? What do you believe about heaven? Maybe a good conversation started with someone, a new friend, an old acquaintance maybe that you meet again might be a good starter. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, we do love you and thank you for your blessings, the joy of service and fellowship. And Father, what we can learn and glean from the scriptures, help us to continue to dig in the word as we've talked about on Sunday nights of what we do you really know what you believe, the words and adages that we studied in the book of Proverbs on Wednesday nights. And Lord, help us to continue to dig into scripture. Bless our time this week as the men will meet around the table on Tuesday morning and the ladies on Thursday. May we continue to grow closer together as we build relationships as a church family. And then through those relationships, our church will grow stronger as we minister, discourage one another as iron sharpeneth iron, and as we labor together to reach others for the cause of Christ. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love tonight. May you be uplifted and glorified in our conversation and fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, and this preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.